But tonight, anyways, we are in lesson 17 of our book, which corresponds with Colossians 4, 7 through 8. So I'm going to start just by reading those verses, and then we'll move on from there. So Colossians 4, verse 7 says, and I'm going to pronounce it Tychicus. It could be Tychicus. I don't know. Hannah, I don't know how you would have pronounced it, but I'll probably say Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. So we have a couple people spoken of in here. We have Tychicus. We have Onesimus. We know that it's Paul speaking here, and that he has sent these people out to talk to the church in Colossae for a couple different purposes. One is to give an update, and the other purpose is to get an update. So those are the two purposes that these gentlemen are sent with. But I want to start, before I get into the scriptures and some breaking it down a little bit, I actually want to start with a paragraph that's in our lesson on page 115, right at the very top. It says, as Paul begins to close the letter to the Colossians, he becomes very personal. He wants his readers to receive a first-hand report of his condition and situation. Because he can't visit them himself, he does the next best thing. He sends a faithful friend who knows Paul so well that he can accurately represent Paul to the believers in Colossae. So, we know that the reason Paul can't go is because he's in chains. He is a prisoner for Christ, basically, and he cannot physically go himself, but he knows that the church in Colossae might be concerned for him, knowing that he's in chains, and they perhaps would be wondering what condition he's in. If you know anything about the prisons of the time, they were not like our prisons. They were often chained to a wall in a basement area that often had water running through it, sewage running through it. It was not a pleasant place to be. There were probably creatures that would make me scream in there. And so I would imagine if I knew somebody, a beloved person, was in a position like that, I would be concerned for their welfare, and I would like updates. You know, I think of these prayer requests. Week after week that we have study, we have prayer requests, and they're about people that we love, right? And we love to hear updates, and I didn't do it this evening, but normally we start out and we go back and we look at the weeks before prayer requests, and we say, Helen, what's the update on this? Or, you know, what happened here? Or if we know an update, we'll give word of those updates. And boy, doesn't it bring comfort to our hearts if there's a praise report on that? And if there isn't, and there is a need for further prayer, we can further pray for that situation. So it's important that, as Paul does here, sends out word of his circumstances, that's good for the people, and it's also good then for him and the return to hear about how the people are doing as well. It's very important. I think it does our heart good. Praise reports do our heart good. You know, when we see God acting and moving in people's lives, it's important, and we're so thankful for that. So, here we start with Tychicus, and what does it say about him? He is a beloved brother. Now, this is not a physical brother of Paul's. This is a brother in Christ. And often, depending on the family that you grew up in and their spiritual state, sometimes our Christian family, I have to be careful of how I say this, they can be closer to us than our physical family because of that bond that we have in Christ. Okay? So, Paul calls Tychicus a beloved brother, and we know if in different areas, and I didn't write down the scripture for this, but we know of young Timothy, he considers a son, right? And there's other places where he calls people like family members. So Tychicus, he considers a beloved brother. He loves him very much. And he also calls him a faithful minister. And so he's faithful in what he does. He is asked to do a job, and he completes that job. And he also calls him a fellow servant in the Lord. And we know that Paul is an amazing servant in the Lord, not only in word, but in deed. And if Paul is calling him a fellow servant, we know that Tychicus also is faithful to God's word, both in deed and in truth. Fellow servant, the definition is several definitions. One who serves the same master. And we know that, Paul's master is Jesus himself. In fact, he had that experience with him on the Damascus Road there. And Tychicus has the same master. So that makes him a fellow servant. And we know that, we've talked about this before. Hannah's spoken of it. Servant here also speaks of one who is the bond servant. We've talked about bond servants before, and it's a servant by choice. And they were the ones who had the servant who had been with their master for 7 years, and at the end of the seventh year could be released from their servanthood. From their master, but if they felt they were well treated and wanted to stay with their master, they pinned their ear to the door, and they were basically their ear was marked by an awl, and you knew that that person was now a bond slave of the master, but that means they were bonded to the master by choice. Paul and Tychicus are bonded to Jesus Christ by choice. We are bond slaves of Jesus Christ by choice. We have asked him to be our Lord and Savior, so we are fellow servants as well, fellow ministers as well. And what does it say here? It's in the Lord. That's what makes us fellow servants together. And an example is Helen opens our home for us to come and meet as a women's study in the evenings. And so that's a way that she's being a fellow servant to all of us this evening, even those who are online. If Helen hadn't made her computer available, well, then we wouldn't be on Zoom together, you know. So that's a way, and it's in the Lord because we're believers and talking in his word about his word. And it says that his job is to tell all the news about me. So Paul has given a list of information. I'm okay. You know, I am a prisoner in chains, but I'm okay. And he's able to write these letters. He's able to do all of this. And so Tychicus is going to give this report about the news of Paul. Yes, he is a prisoner, but it's for Christ. And Paul is okay with that because he knows it's God's will for him. So he's going to send that message with Tychicus. And then he goes on in verse 8. I'm sorry, let me continue with some of the meanings of fellow servant first before I go on. It says, one who ministers to one another, acknowledges the same Lord Jesus, and obeys his commands. And so there's an obedience as well when we're in a servant, obedience to what we're asked to do. And so we want to obey the Lord's commands and statutes for ourselves. But also, if a friend or somebody came to us and asked us, could you do this for me? Would you do this for me? And they are a beloved brother or sister in the Lord. We, as a faithful minister, probably would say yes, you know, and we would, if possible, we would do that for them, and we would do it the way they asked, you know. I'll give a kind of crazy example. Lori asked me to bring a shirt to Helen this evening. If I were not a faithful servant, I perhaps would have thrown it on the doorstep and not brought it inside. But no, we want to do full obedience, right? I brought it inside, I handed it to her, you know, but that's kind of a silly example, but we want to, you know, if the Lord tells us to give a meal to somebody who's hurting in the body, then we should give that meal, and we shouldn't say, okay, it's at Domino's, go pick it up. No, we should go pick it up and take it to them, you know, deliver it, and be that servant for them. I would say that it also means when we talk about being a fellow or beloved brother, that it is someone who is like-minded, agreeing wholeheartedly with. The message that Paul had to send, Tychicus had to agree with. Paul would not want to send somebody who is going to give a message that is the opposite or contrary to what Paul wanted sent. So he had to be like-minded. He had to agree wholeheartedly with a message. He had to cherish the same views as Paul. When it comes to Jesus being our Savior, one of the same mind. To seek, and then this was interesting, it also means to seek the interests of another. And so here we have Tychicus, he's seeking the interests not only of Paul, but also of the believers that he's taking the message to. Because it says, I'm sending you for this purpose that he may know your circumstances, but also comfort your hearts. So there was going to be give and take there. We're going to give you the message of Paul, but then we're going to take your message back to Paul. So seeking the interest of another. Paul didn't just want to say, have them say, okay, I'm okay. I'm a prisoner for Christ. I'm in God's will, and then leave it at that. He wanted to hear, how are these believers in Colossae doing as well? He was concerned for that. Romans 15:5 says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we become like-minded or fellow servants or beloved brethren with one another. How? By God. Because right here it says, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another. He's the one that enables us to be like-minded towards one another according to Jesus Christ. And what's the purpose that he would want us to be like-minded or fellow servants? That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's for God's glory that we would be like-minded, that we would be fellow servants for his glory. And when it talks about having one mind, one mouth, it means we should sound alike as believers. What we say and what we do should not be contrary to one another, and it should not be contrary to God's word. And it should all line up. And it's pretty obvious, it can be pretty obvious when somebody is not like-minded, because they will look and act quite contrary to what God's word says and what Jesus looks like. We should be looking more and more like Jesus in our walks. Philippians 2:2 says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So I should have started with verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. So there's comfort in being like-minded. We can encourage one another if we're like-minded. As several places in the Word, it talks about comforting others wherewith we've been comforted ourselves. If we have gone through something and then we know somebody else who is going through something similar, we can comfort with that. And so Paul is sending comfort through Tychicus, but he's also going to receive comfort through what's happening in the body in Colossae. If we go down to verse 20 in that same chapter of Philippians 2, it says, I trust the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. So he's interested in knowing the state of believers. This would be the believers in Philippi. And it says, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. So it becomes a burden when you feel there isn't a body of believers who are like-minded. And Paul is concerned for that. So he's checking on this church of Colossae. Here he's checking on the church of Philippi, and so he's being mindful of that, to encourage that. Often a fellow servant in the word may also be called a co-laborer or a co-worker, and a laborer or co-laborer is a companion in work. My husband does carpentry. He's a carpenter. He does home repair and remodeling. He's also a pastor, and in both areas of work, he has co-laborers. He has those who come alongside and help him. He has just picked up a new employee at work. He's another pastor, and they're companions in work. And that when you have a companion in work, the load becomes lighter. It's a helper, someone who comes alongside. I think of Moses in the Old Testament. When he had to hold up the staff and that staff became heavy, Hur and Aaron came alongside to help hold that staff up. They were co-laborers for him. That Aaron couldn't hold up, or Moses couldn't keep that staff held up without those co-laborers with him. Paul cannot get to the physical churches in person. He can't get to Philippi. He can't get to Colossae. So he has co-laborers, companions in the work, helpers who can do that for him because he can't physically do it himself. Sometimes we need a co-laborer. Right now, I am being a co-laborer with Hannah because it's hard for her to do this work right now, to come here and do these teachings. So I've come alongside and said, let me help you, and let's do this together to lift that burden, to make it lighter. And that's what a co-laborer or fellow servant does. Let's look at a few verses here about this. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, so there, the burden was getting heavy. We could no longer endure it. It was good to be left in Athens alone. Or we thought it would be good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. So there was a burden. It was being hard to endure. Faith was being shaken, and so Paul sends a fellow servant, a co-laborer, because once again, he could not go himself, so he sent Timothy to relieve that burden, and it says to establish and encourage you concerning your faith, that you won't be shaken in afflictions. When trials and tribulations come into our lives, and we know that it happens in Colossae, it happens here in our lives, it happens everywhere, that afflictions and trials come. Look at the prayer list we had tonight. You know, afflictions, they hit everybody. It's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to be shaken by them. And so we need people who are going to come alongside and who are going to help hold us up during those times, and who are going to establish and who are going to encourage us in our faith to press on, to endure. And it might be a scripture that we've been given. It might be just, how are you doing? Wow, that must be hard. Agreeing with somebody and what they're going through sometimes can encourage. So, verse 3 finishes with, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. We're appointed to be fellow laborers, fellow servants with one another, to be encouragers of one another. Let's look at Romans 16. Verse 3 says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches and Gentiles, or churches of the Gentiles. So here we have some fellow workers of Paul who risked their very lives to be fellow workers with him. And what is he? He's thankful for that. And there are several that he greets here that are in this house. And he calls another beloved, and the names are so hard to pronounce here. Mary, who labored much for us. Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners. So even prisoners are coming alongside each other, one another, probably to encourage one another, you know, to comfort each other. Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus And it continues and goes on and on. Greet these people. And why? Because they're fellow laborers. They're co-laborers in Christ. When I arrived here tonight at Helen's, Rose was here. We've never met before, but we greeted one another. And Helen introduced her as a fellow church member, you know, a sister in the Lord. And so a greeting there. It's important that we greet one another. And it finishes, and sometimes this is a little awkward for one another. It's not always the way we do it, but we may say hug instead of this. But it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches in Christ greet you. You know, we have a time of greeting in our church. And often it's, you go up and you give somebody a handshake, you give somebody a hug. Sometimes you know somebody's going through something, and don't you hold on just a little bit longer to let them know, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you, I know it's been tough, right? You greet people in those ways, and we're thankful because we know them as co-laborers, we know them as co-servants in Christ, and we love them. Paul loves these people that he serves with. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Sorry, we're hopping around a little bit, but I think it's important to see some of these examples here. 2 Corinthians 8:23 says, if anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So he's calling them my partner, my fellow worker concerning you. Philippians, I'm going to go back to Philippians 2. Verse 25 says, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. Again, this is not a physical brother. This is a brother in Christ, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. So here we have another fellow term, but this one is soldier, military in term. And if you know things about soldiers, they will die for one another. They will put their lives at risk for one another. And Epaphroditus is one of those, and Paul recognizes him for that. They're valiant. They're strong. They know their goal. They know their master, and they will follow their master's command. And that is what Epaphroditus is to Paul. If we turn over to chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 3, it says, I urge you also, true companion, another term there, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So he wants us to encourage our fellow laborers in what they're doing. Sometimes our hands hang low in what we have to do. We may get discouraged. Things may not go the way we're planning. Maybe things in our house are difficult. Whatever the case is, maybe in our church, you know, maybe somebody leaves. Whatever the reason, maybe our hands are hanging low, but Paul urges, come alongside and encourage your fellow companions. Encourage one another in the Lord. Why? Because their names are written in the book of life. We want to be encouragers to one another. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2 says, Oh, I already read that, but it's good to read again. I sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish and encourage you concerning your faith. So there's a reason for the sending, to encourage, to establish. Okay, now 2 Corinthians. Maybe I already read that one too. Sorry, I thought arrows going different ways than I think I put them in the wrong place. 2 Corinthians 8:23, I already read. Okay, that was one about Titus. So, 3 John 1:8. Well, that would be verse 8, says, we therefore ought to receive such that may become fellow workers for the truth. So there may be somebody new who comes into our lives, comes into our body, comes into our study, and it says, you know, obviously we greet, we do that, and it says to receive such a one that we may become fellow workers. We want to add to the body, right? And it's often lonely. I'm sure we've all been the new one at something, and you long to meet people, you long to get to know people, to belong. And we, as the established ones, can bring people in and encourage them and bring them alongside. And maybe there's some teaching to be done. Maybe there's, you know, take somebody to take under your wing, to guide, to direct, to show how to do things. But receive them, it says. That they may become fellow workers. And why? For the truth, for God's word, and other reasons that we want to be co-laborers, like Paul says in these scriptures, to be like-minded, to be fellow servants. Hebrews 3:13. Says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So when I just read 3 John 8, and it said to receive such a one, here it says to exhort or to encourage one another while it is called today, lest anyone be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We want to be encouraging to one another. And so it's important that we're co-laborers, that we're companions, that we're workers, that we're fellow servants, that we're like-minded, to encourage one another along, because sin is deceitful. Our hearts are, scripture says, desperately wicked, right? Our hearts are deceitful. And so we can get ensnared as sin, I'll say, as easily as anyone. And so we need people to come alongside us, to encourage us, to perhaps point things out if we are perhaps going astray in an area. It's important that we do that for one another. 1 Corinthians 1:9 will give us another reason. It says, God is faithful. Well, this isn't another reason. This is how it can be done. God is faithful, by whom you were called, where? Into fellowship of his Son and Jesus Christ our Lord. It's important that we are in fellowship. Fellowship with one another in his word, in church, in study, the way we gathered here this evening. I'm so thankful for all who are here this evening because it is so important to be encouraged in the word. Paul thought it was so important that he sent people on his behalf to encourage others. That's how important he felt it was, even though he couldn't go himself. He sent a laborer for him. He actually sent two, Tychicus and Onesimus. And so it's by God, because God is the faithful one, because our flesh is weak. Our spirit's willing. There are many things we want to do. Our flesh is often weak and we don't follow through, but God is faithful. 1 John. Sorry, I should have put these in order where we would have been in the same area at the same time, but I've got this flipping all around. 1 John 1, 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Joy is very important. And it's not joy like, oh, I'm so happy joy. It's a gladness of heart yeah. for all that God has done and is doing for us. And it's for his glory. And it comes through fellowship. Fellowship is so important with God and with one another. And down in verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." So we want to be walking in light, walking in his, and where do we find this light? It's in his word. I say this every time I teach. It is so important to be in his word, in his word, in his word. We can't walk in his ways if we are not in his word. Acts 2:42. And this is where the church was first established. It says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And we do that when we gather on a often it's a Monday. Tonight it's a Tuesday, but we continue in the word. We are in fellowship as we talk about how things are going in our lives, what God is doing. We do enjoy refreshments afterwards, but also in prayer. We care for one another's needs in that way as well. Hopefully, wherever you go to church on a Sunday, that is what you're doing as well. Fellowshipping with one another and in the doctrine of the word. And in prayer and fellowship. I just have a few more. 2 Corinthians 8:4. My phone is going crazy over here. I should make sure that there isn't something going on. Okay. 2 Corinthians 8:4. Imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So sometimes we need to urge one another into the work of the Lord. We can encourage someone, hey, do you want to come alongside? Do you want to help with this? Is there a way that you can help us with this? Correctly. Proverbs 12. Twenty-five says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And so as I think of Paul, and I think of the fact that he is in chains, and that the church in Colossae might be concerned for him, it says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. There may have been some sadness, some concern taking place there. And then it says, but a good word makes it glad. So Paul, understanding this, is so faithful to send two of his brothers in Christ, Tychicus, a beloved brother, and Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, they will make known to you all the things which are happening here. Because he's concerned that maybe anxiety is raising, that maybe there's some depression that might be happening in the church of Colossae, and he knows the word, and he knows that a good word is going to make the church of Colossae glad. And in Proverbs 15:23, it similarly says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season, how good it is, right? When you hear good news, a praise report, maybe you've been praying for somebody, you haven't heard anything of them for a while, but then you get a good word, it is so comforting and it brings you joy. And that's what this scripture says. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And I'm sure when Tychicus arrives, when Onesimus arrives and they have good news of Paul and all that's going on with him, it gives them joy and it makes their heart glad. And when Paul then receives the word back of what he's seeing in Colossae, that he in turn will be glad as well. So we need encouragement. Paul needed encouragement. The church of Colossae needed encouragement. It's so important that we are in his word, that we are in fellowship. I'm just looking for the best scripture to close on. But it's important. The word even says to not forsake the gathering together of the saints, to not forsake fellowshipping with one another, because we need that encouragement. Here's a story. John the Baptist is in prison, and he is starting to question, is Jesus really the Messiah? And in verse 19 it says, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? I understand, never been in prison myself, but being in confinement can do things to your mind, and you can start to question things. And even though he was the one in the wilderness pointing, saying, behold, the Lamb of God, he baptized him, he knew who he was. But now he's in confinement, and he starts to question, are you the one? Verse 20, when the men had come to him, to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. So he's giving proof to these two disciples that John sent. Is he the one? He shows who he is to them so that they could take a report, the good report like we just read, right? And he says, Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And when these messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. And then he told them about John and all that John meant to him. And he was the messenger of the Lord. And, but these two were then sent back. So just like we see here with Paul, Tychicus, Onesimus, and the church in Colossae, and the messages going back and forth to comfort on both ends. We see that with Paul or John the Baptist and Jesus, right? John goes, I'm having trouble here. I need a good word. And Jesus says, I've got that good word for you. And he sends those two back to him. And that's what's going to happen here. Tychicus and Onesimus are going to send the message to Colossae, but then not only that, they're going to take a good word back to Paul, like we see here, and there's going to be encouragement on both ends. And that's what fellow servants, fellow laborers, co-workers in Christ do for one another, and that is why it is so very important that we are in fellowship with one another like we are tonight, because we all need to be encouraged. We all need our heads lifted up at times, our hands lifted up. So I'm so thankful that we were able to gather here this evening and spend this time not only in the Word, but now we're going to fellowship in the study and in conversation afterwards. So, Lord, we thank you for these scriptures and what you showed us through them. Continue now as we discuss